I want to bring a message this morning entitled A Hell to Shun out of Luke chapter 16 and begin reading in verse number 19. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you've been around the church long, somebody may be thinking this morning, Pastor, you've preached from this text before. That's true. And if I live, I'll preach from it again. Not as Pastor wills, but our Lord spent a lot more time in his earthly ministry warning of the judgment to come than he did talking about the splendors of heaven. The Bible said in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise, Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If correctly read, that's Luke 16, 19 through 31. Let's pray a moment. Father, I thank you this morning for the text. Lord, if I was going down the highway and the big, tall bridge that goes across the Holston River, and it was out, I sure would want somebody to warn me. I wouldn't want to plunge myself and Miss Eve and our children and grandchildren off into the river below. Lord, I thank you for taking time in the Word of God to warn us that there is judgment coming, Lord. And I pray, Father, today that in this service, God, I haven't slept much last night. I don't know why, God. I don't have to know. But God, somebody this morning is going to hear from a loving God that's trying his best to warn them. The bridge is out. The place where you're headed is destruction. I pray, God, today that that individual, Lord, that you've prepared this message for, would respond. Respond in faith. Respond in repentance. Take Jesus to be their Savior this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Three simple thoughts this morning that I want to look at. The first one is a place called hell. The Bible said in verse number 28, "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come." Then the Bible uses the word "this place of torment." Everyone loves the text. I do. Where it said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place." Oh, thank God Almighty, there's a place called heaven. Thank God Jesus went away to prepare a place. What a place. My daughter and my son-in-law, Elizabeth, they just bought a new home. We're closed on it this week, and it's new to them. It's going to need some painting and some upkeep and some things done to it. But honey, I got a place waiting on me that'll never need anything done to it. Amen. It'll be just right when I get there. And it'll be just right for all eternity. A place called heaven. But here, God said there's another place. Why would anybody in this world want to believe there's a wonderful place called heaven when and not believe that, because the same book teaches it, that there's an awful place called hell? There is an awful place called hell. It's a place of torment. The Bible said it's a place of suffering. They're suffering because of the fire. They're suffering because it's a bottomless pit. They'll be falling. It's not only a place of suffering, but it's a place of separation. They're separated one from another. They're separated from God's people. They're separated from the mercy and the love of an almighty God. The length of the separation is forever, forever and forever. Not only is this place called hell a place of suffering and a place of separation, but it's a place of seriousness. A lot of people today joke about a place called hell. One individual told me one time at a campfire, he said, "I want to go to hell. That's where my buddies are." I said, "I tell you what," I said, "right now I don't believe you. But," I said, "you can do something for me that'll help me to believe you." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Hold your hand in that fire till the first drop of flesh drips off of it into that fire. Turn around and look at me and tell me you want to go to hell." And I said, "I'll believe you." Brother Steve, he hung his head. He knew better than that. He knew better than that in his heart. Let me tell you something right now. Your buddy may be in hell, but you'll not know your buddy in hell. There'll be outer darkness. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no party going on in hell. Seriousness. It's a place of seriousness. It was serious because of the Savior that he had passed up. You say, "Preacher, how can you say that?" Because this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Somewhere along the way, this rich man turned his back on the Savior of the world. It was a place of seriousness because of the Savior that was passed up. It was a place of seriousness because of the sentence that was pronounced. Everlasting fire. And it was a place of seriousness because his siblings were in peril. What do you mean, preacher? He all of a sudden realizes, this is not just about me anymore. You know, that's what God's people need to realize. It's not about us. God saved us, and it ought to be about others. Amen. This man realizes he can't get any help. I'll go into that later. And then he gets to thinking about his brothers, his siblings that are on the way to the same place where he is. A place called hell, a hell to shun. Someone said, it was A.W. Tozer, he said, the vague and tenuous hope that God is too kind to punish the ungodly has become a deadly opiate for the consciousnesses of millions. An opiate, you understand, is something that just tones down the pain. It's a mind-altering thing. Amen. And I'll tell you something right now. There is a place called hell. There's a place called hell. But the second thing I want you to see in the message today is there's a person in hell. I want to say this first of all. It's a literal person. Somebody said, well, this is just a parable. No, because God never used proper names in parables. He never used names like Lazarus, names like Abraham. And I've often said, I believe the only reason he didn't call the rich man's names, because he's embarrassed enough already that he's lived a sumptuous life on the earth and died without God and lift his eyes in hell. Ask you a question this morning. How many of you all know someone? You know someone that you're not judging them, but according to their testimony, they're not prepared to meet God. Now ask a question. Is our burden what it ought to be? Is it what it ought to be? Revival's coming up. Well, wouldn't it be good if Brother Mitchell had 10 or 12 sinners every night to preach to? Amen. He said, preacher, how's that going to happen? I'll tell you how it's going to happen. We got to get a genuine burden. We got to pray. We got to ask God what to say, when to say it. We got to ask God how to invite them. Amen. We ought to be begging people with tears in our eyes and a broken heart not to go to that awful place called hell. There's a literal person. This is not just a parable. He's a literal person that's going to hell. Listen what I read, and I'll share this with you. He said, you need not tell me. This was Sir Francis Newport. He said, you need not tell me there's no hell. He said, for I already feel my soul slipping into the fires. Wretches, he said, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I am lost forever. That's what he said. He was the head of the English Infidel Club. And that's what he said on his deathbed. He felt the flames already licking at him. Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, education's good. But if education denies an awful place called hell, it's the wrong kind of education. If education takes you away from God, it's the wrong kind of education. Not only is it a literal person in hell, but it's a lost person in hell. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because that's the only kind of people that go to hell. People that are lost and undone without God or His Son. You say, well, preacher, that's everybody. At one point it is. But thank God some of us said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that lost person became a child of God. But if a person dies lost, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I don't care what some religions in this world tell you. If a man dies lost without God, if he rejects the Savior and rejects the cross and rejects the blood of Jesus and rejects the grace of God, he will lift his eyes in hell and be lost forever and forever. You say that's a dogmatic statement. No, it's not. It's a Bible statement. Just coming from someone that believes the Bible, the Word of God. A literal person. He's a lost person. Let me give you this. The Lord spoke to my heart. He's a lamentable person. What do you mean? He's a person that's full of regrets. Full of them. I don't know if you watched the news. Last night, a man that had over and over and over again been arrested on drug charges with the gun, refused to lay it down. A police officer shot him. 23 years old, he dies. Let me ask you a question. You think he's got any regrets this morning? I guarantee you that police officer probably regrets having to do his job. And the way it's looking in our America, the police officers might quit doing their job before it's over with. They're being penalized for doing their job. Hey, if a police officer tells me to lay my gun down, I'm going to lay it down. If he tells me to get on the ground, I'm going to get on the ground. If he does something out of line after that, he ought to be punished. That man, all the news. They set, I think, 5 different businesses on fire in Milwaukee, burning the town down. That's helping a lot, ain't it? You want to tell me what I believe? I believe there's not a handful of God's people that watch a news clip like that and think, that boy's in hell. That boy is in hell. That boy is screaming. That boy is tormented in hell. We need a vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. It's a literal person, a lost person, a lamentable person. He's full of regret. I believe he has regrets concerning the Bible, that he didn't listen to the message from God. I believe he has regrets concerning the beggar. I believe the rich man in hell regrets that the beggar had to be laid down at his gate. I believe he had it to do over again. He had made him a place at the table. Probably sent a chariot down there to get him. Probably had some servants to carry him. You say, preacher, I don't know where you get a thought like that. How about Mephibosheth? David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? Honey, when you meet Jesus, you want to show people kindness for Jesus' sake. I believe he had regrets concerning the brethren. I believe he wishes he would have took more time with his brothers. Someone said, C.S. Lewis, exactly who said it. He said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. The safest road to hell is the gradual one. People sit in the house of God today, hear Bible message, they go away. Try to block it out of their mind. I witnessed to a man one time, never witnessed to a man just like him. When you talked about death, he said, I don't want to talk about it. He said, I don't want to think about it. Honey, whether you want to think about it or whether you want to talk about it, you're going to die. And I am too. I am too. A person in hell. There's a place called hell. There's a person in hell. I want to give you this in closing the message today. I want to give you a prayer request from hell. I didn't see anything in this man's prayer request about cancer. Nothing wrong with requested prayer for folk got cancer. It's a cruel disease. There was nothing in this man's prayer request that sounds so much like our normal prayer requests. But the first thing in his prayer request, I want you to understand, he said in verse 24, he cried and said, we need some more of that in the house of God, don't we? Father Abraham, have mercy on me. His first prayer request, Sister Barbara, was have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh, thank God I didn't wait till I died to call out to the God of heaven that night in February 1987. I cried out, oh God, have mercy on me. Lost and died sinner. Because of that, Brother Anthony, the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Here's a prayer request from hell. Have mercy on me. He said, send Lazarus. He's got his consciousness about him, doesn't he? He's able to identify Abraham. He's able to identify Lazarus. We know he's got his memory about him because Father Abraham said, son, remember. Now in thy lifetime you had your good things. Likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted. Thou art tormented. I didn't get to hear, Sister Barbara, the microphone. I couldn't hear exactly all of that. That last part, that exhortation there. But I think it had something to do with, if you died 5 minutes ago, where would you be? Yeah. Oh, I'm glad this morning I could stand and say, if I died 5 minutes ago, I'd be in the presence of an almighty God. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, the night I got saved, it's different for everybody. There's common denominators in salvation. We must be convicted of our sin. We must repent. That means we're tired of it. We want a Savior. Some people get saved when a man's preaching on Calvary and preaching how much God loves you. Other people get saved when somebody's preaching on hell. And you're going to face this God that loved you in judgment if you reject Him. And I'll tell you this, I believe with all of my heart, the major theme in my heart and in my mind that night was, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. God said, good news, buddy, you don't have to. I went to Calvary. I suffered your hell. If you'll just come and trust me, you don't have to go to hell. He said, have mercy on me. That was his first prayer request. But let me say this. There was no mercy. There's two things that I see here. Listen to me carefully. The rich man was asking the wrong one for mercy. Brother Rose, Abraham's as good a man I believe ever walked in shoe leather. But they ain't no man can have mercy. It takes the God man, the Lord Jesus, to have mercy. He was asking the wrong one for mercy when he prayed, and then he was asking at the wrong time. The time to ask for mercy is not after you die. The time to ask for mercy is while you're living and breathing on this side of the grave. The second prayer request that I see here, I see in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. Now this prayer request comes after Abraham's response to the rich man, and the rich man realizes there's no mercy for me. And so this prayer request comes off of his lips, and I believe from his heart. In verse number 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. You can't help me, Abraham. Lazarus can't come over here and I can't go over there. Well, would you do this for me? Would you send him down to my father's house? Would you send him back? My brothers know that he's the one that was laid at the gate. My brothers know who Lazarus is. And if you can't help me, just send him back to tell my five brothers. I'll tell you something right now. Listen, if you're so cold that you would want somebody to go to hell in this life, I'll guarantee you if you die without God and you go to hell, you'll never want anybody to come where you are. Never. His second prayer request. His first prayer request was, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. His second prayer request was, Father Abraham, have mercy on them. Have mercy on my five brethren. He said, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know the story. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. I'd say we would be amazed today at the people in this world that make fun of churches like this, preaching like this, singing like this, baptisms like this. To them, it's a joke. But I'm going to tell you something, the laughing's about to stop. Jesus is coming. The Bible said here, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe though one rose from the dead. And now on this side of the grave, on this side of Calvary, I'm glad, Brother Larry, we can report there was one that rose from the dead. His name is Jesus. He got up. He died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You say, why, preacher? A couple of things. Number one, he loves us. But number two, he realized that was the only way, Brother Steve, that somebody as rotten as you and I could come to somebody as holy as he is and cry out, oh God, have mercy. And he could have mercy through the blood of his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I close with this. I read this and it spoke to my heart. Many accidental deaths result from taking risks. Listen to me carefully. This came out of the Daily Bread. That's the conclusion of an organization in Canada that is seeking to decrease accidents between cars and trains. This man, last man's name is CYR. I'm going to say it Sire. I don't know for sure how you pronounce it. Roger Sire, the National Director of Operation Lifesaver, he puts most of the blame for fatalities on drivers who are risk takers. Studies have shown that when people hear a train whistle, their minds tell them to accelerate their speed, says Sire. About 43% of the accidents occur at crossings equipped with flashing lights and bells or gates. Sire also said that many drivers even have the audacity to drive around or under the gates. They take the risk, thinking that they can beat the train and somehow miss the collision, but with tragic consequences. I'm closing the message like this morning. Leaving here without God's mercy. Leaving here without salvation is taking a risk. God this morning has got an old hillbilly preacher standing up just trying to flash the lights. I tell you, there's a train coming. Disregard the gate. Disregard the lights. Disregard the warning. And there's going to be a collision. And it's going to end tragic, just like it did for the rich man. how he loves you this morning. You say, oh, loving God could never send anyone to hell. I tell you, a holy God has no choice. Because, you see, God made us free moral agents. He doesn't drive anything down our throat, so to speak. He lays it out there in front of us. And Joshua said, choose you this day who you'll serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Thank God for those that have made the right choice. This morning, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are people in this room that are not ready to meet God. And I'm begging you, please, heed the warning. Please, don't go away. Take a risk. I used to tell the men in prison, they all knew what that game, it's a stupid game called Russian roulette. We just put one bullet in the cylinder on a revolver and you spin the revolver, Brother Randall, and then just cock it and point it at your head. What a risk. You say, you're going to take a 1 in 5? Nope, not going to take a 1 in 6. Not going to take a 1 in 7. I'm not doing that. That's stupid. That's a risk that we don't need to take. But I tell you, every time a person turns away from Christ, they're taking a risk with something more precious than life itself. They're taking a risk with their soul. They're taking a risk with eternity. Please don't take that risk. Please trust Jesus. Please call out to God. I can tell you this. If you'll cry out in faith, honey, he's got enough mercy this morning, Brother Randy, to save all of Kingsport. If all of Kingsport would cry out in faith and repentance, have mercy on me, God could dump enough mercy to save everyone that called on him. You see, I opened the message with a person in hell. He's a literal person. Remember a while ago when our hands went up, we all have lost friends, loved ones, co-workers. Those are real people. And we need a real burden. He said, preacher, you can't beg people to come. Why not? Why not? Why not? Paul said, we beseech you in Christ's stead. Look at word up. Means he was begging them. Be reconciled to God. Yes, he was. He was begging them. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to preach the Bible. Lord, it's not something that I've ever looked forward to preach it. Lord, it's something that's needed. In our generation, it's almost forgotten. There is a place called hell. There is a hell to shun. There are people in hell. There are prayer requests in hell. God, this morning, as we head in towards revival, homecoming, I'm asking you, God, to work in our hearts. Lord, it may just be another get-together, series of meetings. Come, go home. Nobody saved, nobody changed. God, if we'd get a burden, I really believe, Lord, it'd be such a blessing, Brother Mitchell. Be such a blessing to Jesus. See people walking down that aisle. see people trusting Jesus as their Savior. Lord, this morning, the truth is, we don't know when you're coming. You may come before the homecoming ever gets here. So this morning, Lord, you've sealed it in my heart. There's somebody here this morning, Lord. They're not ready to meet you. God, I don't claim to know who they are. I just know they're here. I just know, Lord, that you've lowered the gate down on the road where they are and asked them to stop. Consider where they're headed. Consider whether their sin and their love for sin is worth it. Consider the Savior that died for them. I'm asking you, God, to work in this invitation. God, I pray a burden will be birthed in our hearts for our family members, for our friends, our acquaintances. What a blessing it was, Lord, yesterday to go into a restroom. Gospel tracts laying everywhere. Someone had a vision. Someone knew that someone might pick it up and read it, learn about Jesus. God, we pray you'd help us.